from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows Phone. R-T-I.
See, I told you we wouldn't be away very long. We're back already. Fast as you can do, even make a, you couldn't even make a cup of tea. It's me here, Lee Banks and Rachel Brunsdon, talking about our usual whinging stuff because, well, the majority of what he says is just whinging. Every week.
I've got a breaking story. I've got to mention this really quickly.
Breaking. Do you want a drum roll?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
That was a terrible drum roll. That was like Ginge Baker doing it.
That was like Bob Dylan drumming.
Yes, it was.
It's terrible. I've just discovered a photo on Facebook. The vegetable crisper has been opened and Rob has found the chocolates that I stash in the vegetable crisper. Ooh. Because he never eats vegetables, so he wouldn't look in there. But he has found them and he has outwardly shamed me on Facebook. Thank you, Rob. Yeah. Get back in bed and listen to the radio instead of fosking around where you shouldn't be.
Exactly.
Rob, I applaud your ingenuity for finding them. You're a good man.
Just remember, Rob, she's my wench now.
Uh-oh.
And proud.
Yes. Anyway, moving along. I am so annoyed with this. Does Google think it's above the law?
Yes.
Funnily enough, there was a law, we reported on this, there was a case in the European Court. It doesn't matter what we think, whether it was right or wrong that the judges said X or Y. At the end, we can debate that in a separate issue. The fact is, a decision was made in the European courts, and then Google's off to meet data regulators to discuss the implications of it. No, sorry, Google, the law has come down, boomf. It has made a decision. And once the decision is made, that's law. You can't then come and debate it because you don't like it.
This is very, very worrying thing.
Go on.
I'm worried.
Okay, then. Right. This is the simple part. Right. Google does actually believe it's above the law. And what it forgets, it has a responsibility to this world as the biggest disseminator of information this world has ever known. Mm. It has a responsibility. And the simple fact is that newspapers in the 1980s and other news organisations in the 1980s believed in what the internet could do and started putting their archives of all the stories from back in the 17th century even, put them on Google, and that was where it was supposed to be safe. But newspapers, that was our history. It was the true chronicling of the world history. And like a grand monolithic dead-eyed god, this grand curator of history, Google, is actually wiping things out.
No.
Wiping out the history of the world.
No.
It is?
No.
I can explain why.
No.
Go on then.
Because it's the same as if you get nicked for speeding and they put the speed limit up later, you broke the speed limit at the time, you're nicked. The European Court have made a ruling.
Yeah.
Google should certainly, if nothing else, give the court the respect of acknowledging it, should shut their big chops up and just get on with what the court has said.
Which
that's
is not to, well, not to wipe out the history of the world. Whether the courts have decided that is wrong. There is a basic tenet in law, and any of the lawyers out there, or solicitors who are listening to this programme, will back me up on this. There is a basic tenet of the law that the law needs to be seen to be carried out and done. And that is the basic way of doing that in historical terms, and it still exists today, was through newspapers and news outlets. Mm-hmm. And Google are... if I phone up and say, right, in 1972 I was done for speeding, I do not want people to know about that, Google potentially will wipe that out. That's a bit of history gone. And worse and worse is, one reason that these news stories remain in the archives is so that if you have some horrendous criminal who, like, say, just for instance, Hitler wants to... we will always know what he did and what he said and what his dangers were and all the political ramifications of what was going on around him. But Hitler, if he was alive today, could now say to Google, I want all that stuff from the 1940s taken off the net. I don't want people to know. And then we've jeopardised the whole of the world to a fascist organisation.
That's not what the court ruling says.
It's a grand... That's Google not what is the, a grand pornographer.
That's not what the court ruling says.
I said that it, no matter what the court says, that is the truth of the situation.
No, that's not what the court says. So the situation
I said,
is...
No matter what the court said.
It doesn't matter. The fact is, the court said something...
Keep telling me it's not what the court said. Well, I said it didn't matter.
But it's still the same point.
It isn't. Carry on.
You can't retroactively wipe out stuff. It's okay. It's naughty.
You're quite right, Rachel. It is. It's bad, and it's also it's the destruction of the fabric of the historic resonance of this world.
Mm-hmm.
I rest my case now. You can go on rambling.
Can I? Really?
You can have a little rubble, I might jump in.
The problem Google faces, in my opinion, is it doesn't actually check anything.
No, that's right.
And it allows stuff to go onto the internet. It's an absolute nightmare to get stuff removed, which is absolutely untrue. It's completely false. 9 times out of 10. And I'll give you one little example. The guy who had, for years and donkey's years, he'd had a little photographic business on the south coast of England. His competitor wrote that he was a paedophile. All of a sudden, he lost all of his business. Now, why Google should have taken that off in seconds?
Of course they should.
But they didn't.
No, and that's where the problem lies with Google. And to give that kind of organisation that has that attitude towards people's lives and has the disinterest or not the infrastructure to cope with things like this, they are being given the right to play with the history of our world. That's all I'm saying.
The interesting thing is that Christopher Graham, he's the guy who's the UK Information Commissioner, he said, the polluter pays, the polluter should clean up. Google is a massive commercial organisation making millions and millions out of processing people's personal information.
Yeah.
They're going to have to do some tidying up. And there's nothing wrong with that.
We've talked about this before at length, and wherever we stand on this, have agreed that this is such a difficult thing to police.
Yes.
And yes, but then they shouldn't be allowed to do it, Rachel. If it's difficult for them to police, they shouldn't be allowed to do it.
I agree with you, but if they, it's not like they're the tramp sitting on the side of the road asking for money. They have got the money to be able to set up some sort of, I don't know, some sort of fact checking, some sort of screening process. I don't know. I think it's a bigger beast than they know what to do with now.
That's more like it. Yeah,
I think it is. But also, the major problem there, it is a bigger beast, and it's almost uncontrollable almost impossible to get in control of. But also, there is an ethos, an ethic behind it, which this organisation doesn't have, and that is the ethic of protecting the world's
No, do you know what,
and
Lee?
Integrity. They have got the integrity
exactly.
thing.
Exactly, yeah.
I think problem is their integrity is one way, and they don't understand that idiots, numpties and trolls, as they're called, will go against their ethos. Therefore, when they built the model up, they didn't expect Eric Wiltshire to write on the internet, Lee Banks bites the heads off whippets.
Chickens. That's true. We know that's true.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I've never denied it.
But the fact is, when Lee comes to Google and says, take that down, it's not real, they go, oh, no, it might be in the public interest. What?
Well,
it might be in the public interest that something is false. How interesting.
Yes.
I'm befuddled by this story. I truly am. And you know what? I have a headache.
Can I make a suggestion, boys and girls? This might work. And I did this years ago. We were on the BBC. We were on the BBC, actually. Me and my mate, we were on the BBC. Didn't talk like that. We talked proper, like what the boss wanted. And I said to them, look, if you're really, really worried about the quality of something you are seeing, find out where it comes from. If it is that it's coming from somewhere like the BBC, CNN, Euronews, Al Jazeera or whatever, then, you know, you're on a quite safe bet that the story's true. You know, be a bit of a researcher yourself. If it is that it's on somebody's website and you're not sure whether he or she has written it well, Put their name into Google and see where they've written before. Are they creditable? If they're not creditable, do you know what? Don't bother with it. It's probably rubbish.
That's perfectly true, and that's exactly really, this is what Rachel said before, on this subject we always really agree. There are elements that we can't agree on, but in principle we agree, and the simple fact is, what you said is right, that the whole essence of keeping the history of the world in one form or another safe and fine is so you can check what's happened, and you can make opinions and decisions based on what happened in the past, and Google are in danger of taking this away from us.
But they're a commercial organisation. It should be done by somebody else that doesn't have commercial, you know, attitudes, because...
Exactly, and not Wikipedia.
No, because they're rubbish as well. Anyway, we followed this story through, and I thought I'd like to close it, because it's been going on for so long. The lady who was sentenced to death over in the Sudan for converting to Christianity has actually met the Pope, and I think that's lovely. I do think that's nice.
You know what? I'm not of any religious persuasion, but I like this Pope. This Pope has got back to basics. He doesn't wear all the bling. He doesn't wear the Versace red shoes. He gets out amongst the people. He's saying some really sensible things. He seems more papal and more true to the actual post of Pope than the other popes have done.
Yeah.
I think he's a real bloke. He also talks a lot of common sense, which I enjoy. It's not just religious rhetoric. And I really like this Pope. I think he's, as popes go, I think he's a fair dinkum good Pope.
Well, so he's definitely on the Christmas card list then.
Yeah, yes.
Moving along, because we've got a lot to get through still, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. The jailed Al Jazeera journalist, Peter Grest, is going to appeal against his conviction for terrorism-related offences in Egypt. And do you know what? I'm not a betting man, but I've got a funny feeling on the appeal.
He's
going to
lose.
He's
going to
lose.
He's going to lose the appeal. Why?
I just think he will. I think that it will just be absolute adamant people within the court, and they'll go, no, not going to do anything. No.
One of those one-eyed situations where the Egyptians have said, no, you sided with the Muslim Brotherhood, you're guilty, the end.
Yep.
And that's not fair.
A lot of people who adopt that kind of attitude to things that see things from one place to and misinterpret what was going on.
Absolutely.
I feel sorry for him, but also in a way, I understand that this is actually probably one of the most life-transforming things that he could go through. He's going to have to put up with a lot, but ultimately he's going to write a book and there's going to be a film made about it.
And he's going to be a millionaire. Yeah, absolutely.
He's going to do very well out of it.
Right.
And that's what journalism's about.
Okay, Australia is to move detained asylum groups on shore, Rach?
Ooh, hey.
Yeah.
What's happening?
This is this is just getting more and more ridiculous as the days go by. First of all, Scott Morrison, our immigration minister, has been absolutely dead silent since they came to government last September and refuses to speak to the public about anything that's going on with these guys. High Court ruling the other day said that it was actually unlawful for them to keep little children in prisons. Let's just, coin a phrase, but that's how it is. Mm-hmm. So they're going to move them on shore. That this has all come to light as this Sri Lankan asylum seeker boat was, they were all screened and at sea because Tony Abbott campaigned on the Stop the Boats issue, and he has stopped the boats, but they're all sitting in the middle of the ocean. They're not going anywhere. They're not sending them anywhere else. They're just sitting in the middle of the ocean. So the idea was to send them to places like Nauru, Christmas Island, etc., which are basically just islands with prisons. Now they're saying the UN has said, look, this is completely not fair, and it's it's just against all civil rights and so forth. These people have come from war torn countries. We're prosperous. We're not in an economic downturn. We've got a AAA rating. There is enough reason to bring these people to our country, particularly children. There is no reason for a child to be in a prison. And the whole thing makes me sick to my stomach. There's a big debate going on here, but they're now saying, yes, you can come to Australia, but under the most horrendous conditions. And there's talks with Indian officials about bringing in nationals and that aren't residents, etc. But if you have a look around, particularly around Darwin, for example, I mean, in there's an office down the road that I know of that has a guy from India, a guy from New Zealand, a guy from Cameroon, a guy from Vietnam, and two Australians.
What's wrong with that?
We're a nothing. We're a melting pot. That is what we're based on. We ourselves are not indigenous to this country.
Exactly.
We came from somewhere else.
Yep, indeed.
And to deny these people, particularly children, a better way of life makes me sick to my stomach, and Scott Morrison needs to be hung from a yardarm in the pirate theme.
Indeed. So, something else that's made me angry. No, we're going to move on, Lee. Something that's made me really angry, and it does need to be brought up, and just be careful if you are a business person taking a credit card right now, because some of the families from the MH17 plane that was blown out of the sky have suddenly found out that the credit cards of their dead family members are being used. And Lee's been researching this story, so over to you, Lee.
Well, yeah, it's not so much about the credit card, is it, really? The credit card's just an incidence of what's happening over there. The whole thing is just horrendous. When you think about the credit card, you've got people out there who are pretend soldiers, who basically are terrorists. And they are, you know, you don't actually live very well in those circumstances. And when you've just potentially blown an aircraft out of the sky and killed all these people, and you find a credit card in your addled little bruised, horrified mind, it doesn't seem so bad. And for a family to actually have to cancel the credit card is not really the worst thing that could ever have happened. Considering your son or your husband's just died in this horrific plane crash. But what is really this story is about is the complete and utter way that the it's being handled, not only by the Ukrainians and the Russians, but by everybody else. And nobody's really coming to grips with this situation. Even down to the fact, and this is probably the most horrific story of all, that the fields next to where the plane crashed are still being ploughed, and people know that there are bodies in those fields, and they're still ploughing it. Nobody really cares about this incident anymore.
It is terrible.
We care. The death toll climbed to 38. 38 Australians killed there, and the fact that this crime scene, we've sent investigators over there, to forensic investigators, and they've been denied access.
Not allowed to do anything. That's
crazy.
Exactly right. Okay. So forensically speaking, and now there's bodies on trains. It's most horrendously. I mean, as soon as it happened, I thought to myself, that is going to be really difficult to contain.
Exactly.
And sure enough, it was.
Well, you guys can consider yourself vilified by postcard from Pop Brad, and all we will say to you is, get your act together, because you never know, hopefully not in a plane, but it could be a family member of yours one day who has the same thing. How would you feel? We move on. Now, listen, if you're of a nervous disposition, if you are timid, I would close your ears now.
I've closed my ears.
I can't. I'm on the show.
Oh, this is true. Well, you could shut your mouth. No, that wouldn't work.
Oh, Rachel!
Now we know that.
Don't take that off it.
This is not Ripley's Believe It or Not.
That wouldn't work either. No, it wouldn't.
Apologise, Mr. Wiltshire. You can't.
I just said it wouldn't work. I said it wouldn't work because we're on radio.
She can't shut her mouth.
No.
Yeah, you're right, she can't shut her mouth.
No.
You're right.
Here we go.
So hurt.
This is a big, deep breath. A teenager in India has had 232 teeth removed from his mouth. In what could be a record-breaking operation.
How many teeth are we supposed to have?
Good question.
Lee's got four, but
I've got central eating in mind.
Isn't there 32? Isn't there 32 teeth in the human mouth?
Rings a bell, 32. But apparently this poor kid had got 232 teeth in his mouth, and they only found out when he had a swelling on the right side of his lower jaw. Yeah. Not only that, it gets worse. After taking the teeth out, they found a large object, a bit like a marble object, the sort of structure of it, and they had to chisel it out.
Oh,
no!
The child's a human vitamizer. You know how your mother always said, chew your food properly? I don't think this kid ever heard that.
No, I don't think he did. But anyway, apparently they fixed him all. And if that isn't bad enough, doctors in a US hospital...
This makes me nervous, and I don't have one.
Oh, no.
Boys, your arms are going to sort of go funny. The hairs are going to stand up. Apparently this poor guy...
It's going to stand up.
Apparently this poor guy, Johnny Banks...
Yeah, I know, Johnny Lee Banks. It's Johnny
Yes.
But Birmingham in Alabama.
Yes.
Which is really spooky because there's a place in Birmingham in the UK called Lee Banks.
This gets worse, doesn't it? Anyway,
you made this up?
No. Anyway, poor Mr. Banks went into hospital to have a piece of his foreskin removed.
Why would you do that?
Well, because you could.
He may have turned to Judaism. We don't know.
We don't know.
But roll it back. Don't just keep it.
Stop it. Anyway, he went into the Baptist Medical Center in Princeton.
Oh, the Baptist.
John
the Baptist.
Unfortunately,
they got his head, the head of John the Baptist.
they got his notes wrong, and when he woke it up, not only had the foreskin gone, but the whole of his John Thomas.
John Thomas?
I don't know. They'd amputated it.
Oh.
Yes.
They got a dyslexic surgeon.
That's what it is.
Who mistook circumcision for castration.
Do you know what they said after? They said it's too hard to sew back on.
Oh, that's gross. Anyway.
And all he wanted to do was leave him a nice tip.
Anyway, I bet his blood was boiling. Never mind. this week, there's been a great report come out in the UK about cars and the excuses given by motorists. And I have to say, this one, it kind of touches me beautifully. Because I can't... This is going to get hate mail, I know. I don't like Adele, the singer.
Oh.
I just don't get it.
Don't get me going on Adele.
No. So anyway, this motorist stopped his car on a motorway, freeway, call it what you will, claiming the dashboard display had alerted him to an impending fire. When actually, it was the name of the song on the stereo, which happened to be Adele. And this motorist claims it was Adele's fault that he parked his car on the side of the motorway.
Oh, wow.
Yes, song was Adele. Fire to the Rain, and that's actually a great song. It's a shame that he was such a dolt.
Yes.
And but you know what? I'm glad that this story came out because I like when people are stupid and we can publicly say so.
Well, I like this one even better then, Rach, because we've decided that this is Britain's dumbest motorist. Yeah. He has tried to burn down a speed camera.
A man's an idiot.
Right? But he got caught.
Yeah.
And Lee found this story, so it's all yours.
Got caught because it's a camera.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. First starting point, right? He's a nightclub bouncer. There's nothing wrong with
that. There you go.
I was a nightclub bouncer once.
Yeah, but that was
it was for Mothercare.
I beat you to that. And anyway, and so he did what he did, and then he thought he'd get rid of the thing by setting it on fire, and then the police got him and all that. But like an idiot, he got a cannabis farm in his cellar. So the police came down and found his cannabis farm. So all he got was a speeding fine, might have cost him 60 quid or 80 quid or something like that. Now he's facing a term in jail.
Really?
I think he'd had a few libations before he decided to burn this.
I think he possibly could, yes. He's now. He's always been given 2 years.
Had massive cigarette papers and tried to roll up the actual camera.
No, actually, yeah. That'd have been all right, wouldn't it?
And I'm now looking for an apology from journalists. This isn't going to work either. It's not going to work.
Now, is this about Adele again?
No, Facebook.
All right, go on then. I can have a rant about that.
Can you? You sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can have a rant. Anyway, if you remember a year ago, Facebook went public with its shares, and so many of the economic and business journalists went, nah, told you so, the shares are useless, they've dropped nearly 100% or some other silly percentage figure. And a year later, They've yeah, he's grown.
Rich. He's rich.
He's not he's only a... rich, he's mega rich.
Do you know what I don't get about this guy, though? He's what? richer than Richie Rich, right? He's yes. richer than Rockefeller. And he dresses like the tramp on the side of the road asking for money. I reckon he should get himself a suit.
Zuckerberg,
yeah.
Yes.
He needs to get out of the hoodies. He's not 20 anymore. He's not in university. Get a suit.
I'm nearly 40 and I wear a hoodie.
Yeah, but you're allowed to because you're at the age where you'd like to be comfortable. This man should be wearing a suit.
Eric,
he looks like a hobo.
No, because I was about to say he's also at the same age, Rach, where he has to buy big cars, and I'm just waiting for him to go to the school so he can pass his motorbike test so he can buy a Harley Davidson as well.
I have seen a motorbike.
Oh, no!
I have a 1945 German Hankelwankel bike with those handlebars on it that they used to drive.
Say
I've got the big leather coat to go with it.
Yeah, I was going to like go
what?
Say what?
A Hankelwankel.
A Hankelwankel.
Sounds like something you should put a topical cream on.
It sounds like something that should be in 50 Shades of Grey.
Which reminds me beautifully, thank you very much. The trailer's come out this week for 50 Shades of Grey. Have I watched it? No. Am I going to watch it? No.
No.
Have I read the book? No. Am I going to watch the film? No.
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 I think there you have. There you have a situation where the internet is completely complicit in creating, again, perpetrating on this earth something as hideous as 50 Shades of Grey. It was an e-book that all it did was talk about pornography and slapping ladies' bottom.
I could do that tomorrow. I could write that tomorrow.
Exactly.
In an hour.
In a thingy what's it book thing, and then all of a sudden a big publisher comes along and says it is disgusting. It's not even disgusting. I've only read it three times, and it's not.
They say titillating.
Titillating. Yeah, it's like did your curtains.
Titillate
my curtains.
It's like Mills and Boone used to be. I mean, you can write, you could knock one of those off in an hour. No, back in the old days when you weren't allowed to say titillating things.
No, you're thinking of Barbara Cartland, dear.
Barbara Cartland writes things like that.
Well, it was the nearest thing.
Jackie
Collins didn't write stuff like that. I tell you who writes stuff like that. Some ridiculous citizen journalist who can barely hold a pen or understand a word and starts
you know,
decides
the
to write
on
a
us,
novel.
The last That's on all us, it. He's worth about £50 million now, so we should really probably
we're the numpties, aren't we?
For a loan. Yeah.
Anyway, boys and girls, I'm sad to say that's about it for this week. We'll be back next week. So it's Rachel.
Yes.
It's time for you to say your goodbyes and apologise to the people on the Green Room that want Robbie here.
Well, sorry, Green Room, you got me and sucked in. So goodbye, Rach.
Yeah. And it's time for him to say goodbye as well, which normally takes about 10 hours, boys and girls.
All right, I'll make it really quick, right? I went to the dentist, and the dentist said to me, that tooth needs to come out, but it'll cost you £110. I said, that's a lot of money for a few minutes working.
And really, that's about it, boys and girls, from me as well. We'll see you again next week, same place, same time, same channel, wherever you happen to be. And do get in touch with us via your radio station if you want to find out more about the programme. Or, you know, we'll help you out with a problem you've got. See you next week. Bye-bye.
RTI.